Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have the privilege to welcome Pati Dharam Maharaj, who hails from India. Let us all stand. And chant. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare
Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, of the Acharya, His Divine Grace, Nisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we would like to thank our host, Mr. Ravi Singh, and all of you wonderful devotees who have come here this evening to hear from His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj, as Mr. Singh has explained, hails from India, from Calcutta, and he was traveling in the West to study in Germany when he decided to return to India to explore the richness of the Vedic culture, seeking for a spiritual master. Becoming very disillusioned with the various types of gurus who seemed to be circulating in India, he became very despondent until one day he came across a book written by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, entitled The Nectar of Devotion. After reading that book very intensely and scrutinizingly, His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj realized that he had now met his guru ultimately. He developed a very close association with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took him under very close companionship, giving him first and second initiation, very closely followed by his sannyasi initiation. Maharaj has been a traveling sannyasi and a member of the governing body commission of ISKCON, which is a council that controls and regulates ISKCON throughout the world. Maharaj is the former chairperson of this committee, as well as the Minister of Education and Culture. Maharaj has numerous accolades to his credit. His Divine Grace, Nisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, instructed His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami to translate all of his books into the Bengali language, which Maharaj did, which was an awesome feat. Shortly thereafter, Maharaj embarked on a wonderful DVD series entitled The Abhay Chara. How many of you have viewed the Abhay Chara DVD series? It is a very in-depth documentary about the life and pastimes of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, and it has been aired also on Indian national TV. Shortly thereafter, His Grace Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj built a magnificent temple, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, in the wonderful land of Ujjain, where Sri Krishna and Balaram attended their Gurukul. Not only is it a magnificent temple, it was accomplished in 10 months. A beautiful marble temple built in 10 months, where the intimate worship of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan continues daily. Maharaj has also inaugurated a wonderful Food for Life, or midday meal program, which served 25,000 plates of 25,000 meals daily to school children. Maharaj is not only an erudite scholar and open speaker. Maharaj, last year and the previous year, attended the United Nations, where he addressed world leaders on spiritual matters. So, without much further ado, I urge you all to warmly welcome and intimately hear very, very carefully the wonderful words that arise from our beloved spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj.
Vanchā Bhagavata Rūpaśyam Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitānam Pāvanebhyo Vaiṣṇavebhyo Namo Namah. Śrī Kṛṣṇa Caitanya Prabhu Nityānanda Śrī Advaita Gadādhara Śrīvāṣadī Gaura-bhaktavṛnda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Today we were told that this program is going to be held in the Shiva Temple here in Stanbara. I thought that I would speak on Lord Shiva today. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yes.
Generally people expect us to speak on Lord Krishna and Vishnu. But it's important also for everyone to know who is Lord Shiva. Is he just a product of our imagination, or is he a real person? How many of you think that Lord Shiva is a real person? Please raise your hand. Very much. So, yes, he is real. Of course, there is one group of religious or spiritual followers, those who think that these forms are imaginary. There are mainly five types of worships, five personalities of worship. But those personalities are imaginary forms. But ultimately, one will give up those, one will go beyond these forms and come to the impersonal aspect of spiritual. But that concept doesn't have any valid foundation. If we want to know something, we must learn from scriptures, from books. How many of you learned alphabet on your own? Is there anybody who learned the ABCD on your own? No one. How did you learn your ABC? Somebody told you. Either your mother or your teacher or your father or your brother told you this is A, this is B, and so forth. And you accepted that. And in course of time, when you grew up, then it has been verified. When you started to read books, then you saw, yes, A is A and B is B. So this is the way to learn any subject. When you want to learn some subject, you have to study from a book. Just books are not enough. You need a teacher. If we want to know about the spiritual personalities, we have to resort to appropriate books under the guidance of qualified teachers. Just books are not enough. You need a teacher to reveal those books. Can anybody become a doctor by reading some books, buying them from some bookshops? Can anybody buy some? There are plenty of books on medicine in the market. Can somebody buy those books and read them and become a doctor? Has anybody been recognized as a doctor in that way? No. In order to become a doctor, what he had to do? He had to be admitted to an appropriate institution, and there he had to study a number of prescribed books under the guidance of qualified teachers. So that is the way one receives knowledge. So if we want to receive knowledge about spiritual reality, about spiritual personality, then we have to study the books under the guidance of qualified teachers. Now if we want to know about Lord Shiva, what should we do then? Should we keep on imagining? No. There are books. In those books, there are specific descriptions about Lord Shiva. And one such book is Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita. Samhita, the word Samhita means the compilation of the wisdom presented by someone. Like the knowledge that has been, a teaching that has been given by Manu is known as Manu Samhita. Similarly, the knowledge that has been given by Lord Brahma is Brahma Samhita. Brahma, at his mature stage of spiritual realization, he is presenting it, he is speaking. How he is seeing the spiritual reality. And that is Brahma Samhita. And in Brahma Samhita, in one verse, Lord Brahma is described as Shiva Tattva, the identity of Lord Shiva. He is saying, Kshiram yatha dhrtivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatha pritagasya cheto ya sambhutamati tatha samvaiti karyat govindam adi purusham tamah. Kshiram yatha dhrtivikara vishesha yogat, where just as milk becomes transformed into dahi or dahi. You all know what dahi is. Dahi means yogurt. Milk, just as milk, vikara vishesha yogat, due to the addition or contact of acid, milk becomes yogurt. Similarly, the sambhutam ki tatha samvaiti karyat, in order to achieve some special purpose, Vishnu, Krishna, Govinda has become transformed into Shambhu. Who is Shambhu? Shambhu is another name of Lord Shiva. So Krishna himself has transformed or been transformed into Lord Shiva, Shambhu. Ya sambhutamati tatha samvaiti karyat. So what is that special purpose? What is that special mission? special purpose. That also has been described in this way. This material nature is Krishna's external energy. This material nature is Lord's external energy. So external energy he doesn't directly deal with. Because if he directly deals with the external energy, then it won't remain his external energy. It will become his internal energy. So in order to deal with his external energy, he transforms himself into Shambhutamapi or Lord Shiva. And that's how we find material nature is personified. Who is the material nature? Material nature is Durga. Mahamaya. And who is the husband of Mahamaya? Who is the husband of Durga? Lord Shiva. So in order to deal with this material nature, Lord Shiva, Krishna has transformed himself into Lord Shiva. It is further explained in this way in Brahma Samhita that the Lord glances towards the material nature. And as a result of that, the material nature becomes manifest. How many of you know this concept? That the material nature becomes activated or manifest due to the glance of Mahavishnu? Please raise your hands. I see. Not many of you are aware of that concept. Okay. Do you know how this material nature, how this world was created? How many of you know that? How this world was created? Nobody? Okay. Should I explain to you how it has been created? No? The Lord, as Mahavishnu, he lies in the causal ocean. He lies in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, due to his breathing, there in the causal ocean, you see, just as there is an ocean of water, there is an ocean of cause. Cause is a substance. So, and there is an ocean of cause. Like behind every action, there is a cause. Right? Like you said, because, by the cause. So cause is a substance. And Mahavishnu lies in that ocean of cause, causal ocean. And as he breathes, the bubbles that are generated, like did you ever try to breathe underwater? When you breathe underwater, what happens? The bubbles appear, what's the shape of those bubbles?
Round.
Round, very good. And inside, it's empty. So due to Lord's breathing, these innumerable bubbles were generated in the causal ocean. And each single bubble is an So these universes were empty inside. So then the Lord entered into each universe as Garva Lokshai Vishnu. Very good. Mahavishnu was breathing, caused the bubbles to generate, and each bubble is an universe, the universes are empty. So he entered into each universe as Garva Lokshai Vishnu. And then from his body he generated water and filled up half of the universe. And he laid down on a bed of Anantasheshwar. And then from his navel came out a lotus. And Brahma was situated in that lotus. Each universe had one Brahma. And each universe, in each universe there is a Garbhodakshin Vishnu from whose navel comes out Brahma. And then Brahma does the sub-creation. Meaning he fills up the universe with living entities. So, the first cause of the creation is actually the Lord's glance towards the material nature. Material nature is a personality. The personification of material nature is Durga. Personification of the material nature is Mahamaya. And this Mahamaya has many, many features. Some features of Mahamaya are gentle. Those features of Mother Nature is Annapurna, the giver of food. Jagadhatri, the maintainer of this creation. This is how she is identified in various forms. Then some forms are very, very violent, very Ugra, very fierce. And those forms are Kali, Chandi. Mother Nature, in a destructive form, is Kali, Chandi, Chamanda, Chinnamasta, Bhavala. And these are the various features. So, and who is the controller or the husband or the lord of Mother Nature is Lord Shiva. So this is how we can see the identity of Lord Shiva. So the Lord glances towards the material nature. And his glance actually first takes the shape of Therefore, this manifestation of his glance is Shambhu, is Lord Shiva, is Mahakal. The aspect of the Lord in great, in the form of great time. In the form of time, he is manifesting himself. So, another way we can see, like what actually happens when the Lord glances towards the material nature. You know what happens when the Lord glances towards the material nature? When the Lord glances towards the material nature, then the living entities come into the material nature, are projected into the material nature. We all came here into the material nature due to Lord's glance. Now you can see Lord's glance is Lord Shiva. Mahavishnu's glance is Lord Shiva. And we came through the glance of Mahavishnu. So doesn't it then imply that we came through Lord Shiva? And that's why you see how is Lord Shiva worshipped? Lord Shiva is worshipped in the form of the lingam. Because the jiva, the living entities, have been projected into the material nature, come to the material nature through the agency of Lord Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Tasham Brahma Mahajonir Aham Bija. In the vast womb of material nature. I am the seed giving Father. I am the seed giving Father. That means we came to this material nature through the agency of Lord Shiva. And that is why when you go back to the spiritual world, we have to go back through the agency. That is why Lord Shiva is guarding the gate of the spiritual world. He won't allow any unqualified trespasser. He is standing there with his trident. Therefore, we have to, in order to go to the spiritual world, and in reality, what is Lord Shiva's position? Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu. Among the Vaishnavas, among the devotees of the Lord, Lord Shiva has a very, very special position. Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu. So, in short, this is the identity Lord Shiva, and it is important that we all maintain a very reverential, respectful attitude towards Lord Shiva, recognizing his tattva, recognizing his identity. Sometimes people think, oh, you are a devotee of Krishna, so you don't accept him. No, that's not true. We are also devoted to Lord Shiva, just as we are devoted to a great devotee of the Lord. And also Shiva Tattva is very unique. There is Vishnu Tattva and there is Jiva Tattva. The Lord's position is Vishnu Tattva. His expansions are Vishnu Tattva. And we all are Jiva Tattva. But Lord Shiva has a special identity as Shiva Tattva. Shiva Tattva, as I just mentioned, the Lord Himself has transformed into Lord Shiva to deal with this material nature. He is a guna avatar. He is an avatar. He is an incarnation. There are three modes of material nature. More of goodness, more of passion, and more of ignorance. Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintains the more of goodness. Lord Brahma maintains the more of passion. It is not that Lord Brahma is in the more of passion. Lord Brahma is controlling the more of passion, maintaining. And Lord Shiva is maintaining the mode of ignorance. Satugun, Rajagun, Tamagun. And why Lord Shiva's behavior is like that? Because of his intense attachment to the Lord and the devotee of the Lord, he doesn't have any external consciousness. He is completely oblivious of his state because of his total absorption in the Supreme Personality. So, Lord Shiva's position is as one of the greatest devotees. And there are many wonderful pastimes between the Lord and Lord Shiva, between Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And in those pastimes we see what an intense loving relationship he has with the has five mouths, 5 heads. Therefore, another name of Lord Shiva is Panchayan or Panchabala. Bala means face and Pancha means five heads. It is described Panchabala name, Narode Hori, Premero Shabhano Role, Nachiya Bale, Bolo Bolo Hori, Bolo. Pancha Bale, Narode Hori, Premero Shabhano. Embracing Narad Muni, who is also another great devotee. Lord Shiva in ecstasy chanting the holy name. So, okay, does anybody have any question? If you have any question, please feel free to ask. And, yeah, Krishna Charan.
Hi, Krishna Prabhupada. I have two questions, but I'll just ask them shortly. You explained the Mahavishnu, the Navaraksha Vishnu. Does the Ananda Shesha accompany both Mahavishnu and the Navaraksha Vishnu?
Ananda Shesha, good point. You see, whenever the Lord manifests Himself, Anand Balaram also goes over. See, when in Vrindavan, Krishna and His first expansion in Balaram. When Krishna expanded Himself in Dwarka, then Balaram expanded Shankarshan. In this way, when He expands as Vishnu, then He is Anandashesha. Right? As Mahavishnu, He, where He is lying, that is the expansion. Although He is not actually in the form of Ananda, He does it at, say for example, the bed in Vrindavan, Krishna's bed in Vrindavan, where Krishna is lying. That is the expansion of Balaram. Right? So, now He has to lie in Garbha ocean. So, in a water, how do you lie? Therefore, the Lord becomes Shankarshan, becomes Anandashesha, and He creates the vehicle.
Maharaj, the second is that when Mahavishnu glances towards material creation, then that is Sadaha Shiva. So, what is the relation between Sadaha Shiva, Mahakala, and also Rudra Shiva manifests from the forehead of Brahma and anger? Are these different personalities or the expansions of the same personality?
Just as Krishna expands as Vasudev, Ramchandra, Narayan, Vishnu, Narasimha Dev, Varaha, Purva, same personality is expanding himself. So the original form of Lord Shiva, Ishara Shiva, He is in the spiritual sky. But when He manifests here, when He appears here, through the eyes of Brahma, between the eyebrows of Brahma, that expansion is Rudra. But then He has another expansion, as I mentioned, as Mahakala, the great son, the original form of time. That is also an expression of Lord Shiva in this material nature.
Would there be time in the material nature, as Krishna is saying about what time I am, so He is applying to the eternal time?
Exactly. Yeah, that material aspect of time. See, all destructive. As time, I am the destroyer. now he gets you with the destruction. The destruction part, creation is done by Brahma. Maintenance is done by Vishnu. And destruction is done by Lakshmi. So now you see, he is time and he is destroyed. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, among the destroyed, I am. Any other question?
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask you a few questions. Oh, there are few questions. Why is Lord Krishna regarded as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what is the position of Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu in relation to that Krishna? Very good question. Why is Lord Krishna regarded as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because the original personality of Godhead, in its original form, in its original identity, is Krishna. That Krishna eternally resides in Vrindavan. And his first expansion is Balaram. In Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram. Then Krishna's next expansion is in Dwarka. So in this expansion in Dwarka, he becomes Vasudeva. And Balaram becomes Shankarshan in Dwarka. And then Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So these are the Lord's quadruple feature, Chaturbhuja. In four features, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then he expands himself in Vaikuntha and Narayana. And there also he has his Chaturbhuja of Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then he expands himself as Mahavishnu. In the spiritual world, the Lord has many, many features. All these innumerable features of the Lord or expansions of the Lord are there in Vaikuntha. But in order to create this material nature, he expands himself as Mahavishnu. These Vishnu aspects of the Lord are in relation to material. The Lord expands himself in the material nature as Mahavishnu. And then, as I mentioned, from Mahavishnu's body, as he lies in the causal ocean, the bubbles that are generated due to his breathing, each bubble is a universe. And then he enters into each bubble as Garbhodh Ocean. Then from Garbhodaksha and Vishnu never comes out a lotus, and Lord Brahma is situated in that lotus, who is the first created being. In this universe, the first created being is Lord Brahma. He came directly from the Supreme Personality of God. Then from Brahma came all the other entities in the material nature. For example, Brahma's first first children are generated from his mind, and they are four Kumaras. Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. Then from Brahma's eyebrows, his suppressed anchor came out in the form of Rudra or expansion of Lord Shiva. And so this is Brahma. And Vishnu at that. So does it answer your question? What is the origin of Godhead and what is the position of Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu in relation to God? So in order to create this material nature, Krishna expands himself, not Krishna directly, from Narayana this expansion takes place. Not even from Narayana, from Shankarshana this expansion takes place. That is Mahavishnu. Vishnu has three features. Mahavishnu or Karanadokshaya Vishnu, Garbhadokshaya Vishnu and Kshirodokshaya Vishnu. Kshirodokshaya Vishnu is the super soul of all the living entities in the material nature. Kshirodokshaya Vishnu also is the origin of all the incarnations in the material nature. So this is their relation. In relation to create this material nature, Narayan expands himself as Vishnu, in three features. They all three features are in relation to the material creation. Garbhadakshaya, first is Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Brahma is the first created being that came from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, never. Generally, a child is connected to the mother in the womb through the never. So Brahma was connected to the navel of the Lord. Generally the body develops in the womb of the mother, but here Brahma came out from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Lord Shiva and Rudra takes care of the destructive aspect of material nature. Does the soul have a form and identity? If so, what is it? And how is it formed? Form. You see, when you say form, then comes the question of being created. When it is formed. When it comes to soul, it is eternal. Eternal means it has no beginning, no end. It is an expansion of the Lord. If the Lord, Krishna or Vishnu, is compared to the sun, then the jivas are like the rays of the sun. Minute, but has the same characteristics and qualities. A sun has light and heat. A ray of sun also has light and heat. But the sun is complete and the rays are minute. Similarly, living entities are minute parts and parcels of the Supreme Person. Does the soul have a form? Yes. In the spiritual world, the soul has a form, has its original form. But that form is in relation to, in service to the Lord. But when a living entity stops to serve the Lord, he loses his spiritual form. And he becomes a tiny little spiritual spark. Losing his identity because he stopped his service. So there is no need for a form, for a body, for a shape, because he stopped serving. Therefore, when a living entity stops to serve the Lord, he loses his spiritual identity, spiritual form, and comes into material nature as a tiny little stake of consciousness. because he is the supreme maintainer, therefore he is the supreme personality of Godhead or all in all. Why do devotees not eat onion and garlic? I think your point is that devotees are vegetarian, onion and garlic is vegetable. So why don't the devotees eat onion and garlic? Because the effect of onion and garlic is detrimental to our consciousness. It affects our consciousness. Onion and garlic pollutes our consciousness. You will notice those who eat a lot of onion, they are very passionate, they are very violent, they are very aggressive. Do you want to be aggressive or composed? Do you want to be violent or peaceful? How many of you want to be peaceful? If you want to be peaceful, then will you accept something that will make you violent? In a similar note, we can say, alcohol is produced out of grapes. Grapes and vegetables are fruits. So why don't we drink alcohol? Because the effect of alcohol is detrimental to our consciousness. There is a poison called hemlock. Are you familiar with hemlock? Do you know that what kind of poison Socrates was given? Socrates was sentenced to death. How Socrates was sentenced to death? How many of you remember that? How many of you know, heard of Socrates? I thought everybody knew Socrates. I learned about Socrates when he was in primary school. Socrates is a very famous Greek philosopher. And because Socrates was presenting the truth, the people there, especially people in power, didn't like that. And they sentenced him to death. And you know how you are supposed to die? Drinking a poison called hemlock. Now hemlock is a vegetable. There are many poisonous vegetables, poisonous leaves and roots. So they are vegetables, so why don't you eat them? Because if you eat or if you take its extract, you will die. So it is just being a vegetable is not a consideration. The consideration is the effect of that substance. So onion and garlic are detrimental to our consciousness. Therefore, we don't take onion. Now, can I ask you how many of you are eating onion and garlic? Okay, I won't ask you to raise your hands. But if you are eating onion and garlic, please think about it. And consider when you should eat. It may be vegetable, but its effects, but their effects are detrimental. How to adjust the body and soul so that the soul be benefited from this entanglement? So, you see, the way to deliver the soul is by freeing him from the material bondage. If you are in a prison house, do you like to stay in a prison? How many of you would like to spend some time in the prison? A few years at least? No one. Why? Because there you lose your freedom. Right? imprisoned, we are bound. So similarly, in this material nature, we have become bound. And that's why we need to free ourselves from this material bondage. Now, in order to free ourselves from material bondage, we have to know what is the cause of our bondage. Why are we bound to this material nature? Why have we become bound to this material nature? How many of you know why you have become bound to this material nature? Please raise your hand. I can see that you are so shy or so lazy that you can't raise your hand. I know many of you know. Why aren't you raising your hand? Raise your hand. I'm asking a question just to find out, and there is no response. Let's see how many of you know the cause of your bondage. Well, anyway, I think some of you know. Our cause of our bondage is our rejection of Krishna. Our revolting against Krishna. Why does a prisoner end up in the prison? Why does a prisoner end up in the prison? Because of a crime. He commits a crime, and as a result of his crime, he ends up in prison. Now, in the spiritual context, we disobeyed the orders of the Lord, and as a result of that, because when you break the law, it commits a crime. And because of the crime, we have fallen into this material bondage. Therefore, if you want to become free from the material bondage, then you have to surrender to the Lord. The way to become free from material bondage is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now let's see how many of you know that. Little better. Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Therefore, we have to appeal to Him. My Lord, I committed a mistake. Please forgive me for my mistake and allow me to become free from this material bondage. And that, you know what that prayer is? There are various types of prayers, but the most effective of all prayers to the Lord is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So how many of you want to become free from the material bondage? Okay. So what do you have to do? Very good. You know what does it mean? Hare, the word Hare means Srimati Radha. And Krishna, what is the meaning of the word Krishna? Very good. Krishna means all attractive. Who is all attractive? The Supreme Personality of God. Do you know why he is all attractive? Do you know what are the aspects of attraction? There are six aspects of attraction. The six aspects of attraction are when somebody is very rich, everybody becomes attracted to him. When someone is very beautiful, people become attracted to him. When someone is very powerful, people become attracted to him. When someone is very famous, people become attracted to him. When someone is very wise, do people become attracted to him? Okay, to some of you say yes. If someone is beautiful, are you attracted to him?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a better response. Everyone is attracted by beauty. If someone is very wealthy, are you attracted to him?
Yes.
Don't feel shy. If someone is very renounced,
yes,
then also he becomes attracted. So these are the six features of attraction. Do you not remember I mentioned six? Or did I mention six? Did I miss out anything? Okay, now let me see how many of you remember the first one. Well, very good. Second one?
Beauty,
very good. Third one?
Power,
very good. Fourth one?
Fame,
very good. Fifth one? Knowledge or wisdom. And sixth one? Renunciation. Now, Krishna possesses these six opulences to the fullest extent. Therefore, Krishna is all attractive. The Sanskrit word Krishna means all attractive. Krishna is all attractive. So, that's why Krishna is Krishna. So, we got Hare, we got Krishna, and the third one is Rama. The word Rama means the supreme enjoyer and the giver of supreme pleasure. So, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra consists of these three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. Now they have been repeated in 16 numbers. Hare, Krishna, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare. And it actually forms a very beautiful prayer. The prayer is, O Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Krishna, please deliver me from this miserable material existence and engage me in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is difficult to directly be engaged in Krishna's service. But when you approach Srimati Radharani, then it becomes easy. She, Krishna, is difficult to please. But Radharani is very easy to please. Therefore, we approach Srimati Radharani. Please engage us in the service of Krishna, delivering us from this miserable material condition. So please say Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So, a prayer can be sung. So, would you like to sing with me?
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
by being engaged in this loving devotional service. In the age of Kali, the process has become very, very simplified. In other ages, the process of freedom from material bondage was very difficult. Very, very difficult. Like one had to perform austerities, severe austerities for a long, long time. Even then, they could not become free from material bondage. But in this age, just by chanting this holy name of the Lord, you can become free from your material bondage and go back to the spiritual world where you actually belong. Where do you actually belong to? How many of you belong to Standard? How many of you belong to South Africa? How many of you belong to the Earth planet? And how many of you belong to the spiritual world? Very good. That is where you came from. That's where we all came from. How many of you believe that you are a spirit soul? Very good. Your actual identity is spiritual. Where did the spirit soul come from? The spirit soul came from the spiritual world. That's why we are never satisfied with it. Is there anyone who can say that we are completely satisfied here? Huh? Or how many of you feel that you are actually suffering in this material world? Very good. That's a good realization. So do you want to suffer?
No.
How many of you want to enjoy? And where is the real enjoyment? The real enjoyment is there in the spiritual world. Why? Because we belong to the spiritual world. Where do the fish belong to? And when you take the fish out of water, how does the fish feel? You have seen how the fish feels? Huh? It starts to writhe in pain. It feels so miserable. But then you take the fish back into water, then what happens? Now on the land, if you give the fish the best house to live, the most expensive car to drive, the best food to eat, will the fish be happy? Similarly, are you happy getting whatever you have got in this material world?
No.
No. Why not? Because you are a fish out of water. Therefore, you need to go back to water. When you go back to water, then you will be one with anything. You'll immediately become happy. Therefore, we need to go back to the spiritual world. And you know, it is not difficult to go back to spiritual world. Because spiritual world is not very far. You know, what is the distance between material world and spiritual world? The difference between material and spiritual world, the distance between material world and spiritual world, you know what is the distance? The distance between you and Krishna in your heart. That is the distance. When you live in a world with you as the center, that is material. When you live in a world where Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. Now when you lead your life for Krishna, putting Krishna in the center, where will you be? Very good. You'll be in the spiritual world. Then you don't have to leave Standard and go somewhere else. You can very well live here, in your house, wherever you are, but just put Krishna in the center. And your world will become spiritual. So that's all we need to do. Instead of putting things in the center, putting ourselves in the center, we have to put Krishna in the center. And you can question, am I doing it for myself? Or am I doing it for Krishna? There are three things that we function from. Our body, our mind and our words. Now we can consider, is this body acting for my pleasure or Krishna's pleasure? If you ask this question, you immediately see for whom this body is being engaged. If you ask, is the mind is being engaged in Krishna's service or thinking about my pleasure? And the words that I am speaking, is it for Krishna's pleasure or is it for my pleasure? So this is a simple formula. Just use your body, use your mind, use your words in the service of Krishna and you will be transported to the spiritual. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.
Mr. Padilla. Mr. Padilla.